Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look great. What have you been doing?
I found Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe the same active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s for 80 to 90% less without insurance. All on mine, shipped right to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's care to #250.
Ronaldinho takes, and David Seaman's cut off his line, and Brazil take the lead. Oh, how about that?
Shaqiri, here is Shaqiri. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is!
Is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome in, everybody. The 2026 FIFA Men's World Cup will kick off a year from today. Mexico will get the tournament underway in Mexico City in the legendary Azteca Stadium on June 11th, 2026. We thank the Bouncing Souls, by the way, from New Jersey, for this Ole 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 song and the crafting of Michael Carroll to put this together. So welcome in, everybody. This is Destination 2026 Houston. Countdown to the Cup presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, Energy, and Quanta. And I am Glenn Davis on the heels of last night's Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 out at the Senate Avenue Brewing. Had a great night out there. Brian McDonald, producer extraordinaire, was out there as well. So the countdown continues. We're 1 year away from the start of the World Cup. There were events in all the World Cup cities today that were going on at all the same time, denoting that here we are in Houston, and we will be hosting the World Cup as well. Mayor John Whitmire was down there. U.S. International Carlos Bocanegra was down at the Post. So they did a kind of an event down there. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. 713-780-3776. What's your thoughts on the World Cup? How excited are you 1 year out? The U.S. result last night for U.S. fans, it's not a good one. People not feeling good about that. I've got some context to that if you want to talk about that. 713-780-3776. When you get beat 4-0, there's every type of fine-tooth combing of the national team, the soccer culture in America. Should we have a foreign or should we have a American coach? I mean, every single issue gets put on the table. There's no question about it. So 713-780-3776. Your greatest World Cup moment. I told you mine last week, and it was very impactful when I was a kid, and I went to Madison Square Garden because the games were not on TV then. I told the story of going to Madison Square Garden and watching the 1974 World Cup final between the Netherlands and West Germany. Do you have a story like that? What was the story that kicked you off and made you aware of the World Cup? It might even have been actually attending a World Cup game. I don't know. 713-780-3776 is a number to call in, but I'd love to hear from you if you could recount that. Brian, did you, and I know you're not, you know, soccer's not your priority when it comes to what you follow, but when was the first time, I'm curious, you became aware of the World Cup?
I would say is maybe 9 or 10 year old, around that time.
Okay.
So that would have been, I don't know what World Cup that would have been, but that would have been like early 90s.
Okay. So give us a call, 713-780-3776. So early 90s, that would be a very historic time period because
That was the Paul Calla jury shot heard around the world, and that got the U.S. back in the World Cup after so, so many years. By the way, again, a big thank you to our sponsors, Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist Energy, and Quanta. So, again, Houston is going to host 7 matches. I do want to remind everybody about this 2026 FIFA World Cup at Energy Stadium. So in another 3 days, on June 14th, that'll be the one-year anniversary of our opener here. So there's 5 group stage games in Houston, June 14th, 17th, 23, 26. And we have 1 round of 32 match, so that's a knockout stage, and 1 round of 16. And those are on June 29 and July 4th, okay? So if you want to call in, let's go to Justin. Justin's got something to say about the World Cup. Justin.
Hey, Glenn, I just wanted to talk about my favorite World Cup. Was my first World Cup with the U.S. men's national team, first qualifying cycle and first tournament was 2006. Ooh. And pretty much, you know, from Lom's Thunderbolt opening the tournament against Costa Rica to Grosso's penalty to win it and everything in between, that tournament for me was incredibly special as a kid. So I'd say that. And last week when you were talking about the South American World Cup qualifying being the most challenging, the most difficult, I would have agreed with you in the past. Now with the expansion, I probably would disagree, given that they have 6 automatic spots out of 10 and 1 intercontinental playoff spot. But I agree, you know, the atmosphere is down there, the altitude, the talent. But now it's a lot more forgiving. I would say also, too, African World Cup qualifying, probably the most difficult, because you'll remember Bob Bradley's Egypt played 8 qualifying games back in the 2014 cycle. They won 7 of those. They only lost 1, and they didn't qualify. It's extremely unforgiving over there. You could be playing in front of an empty stadium or a potential stampede full of people in those stadiums. The fields aren't always greatest. The travel's insane. So Africa, you get a mixed bag down there, too. I'd say that's pretty difficult as well. But
I meant it more from like the things that you started going into in detail. Stadiums, altitude, relationships politically between countries. That's kind of what I meant with South America. I do agree with you. You know, they got the 6, I guess, Argentina, Brazil, and Ecuador are already in. Colombia's close. I just think there's a rawness to South America, and I would agree with you. I think there's a rawness to Africa, too, and it makes it very appealing to me, quite frankly.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad to see you're doing a show leading up to the tournament. We're a year out now. I wish things were in a little better place with the U.S. men's team right now, but, I've decided to listen to the show leading up into the tournament. I'm really excited for it. Been excited for every single one since 06. You know, it makes me feel like a kid again, so 31 now, and, you know, I'm starting to feel, you know, you get older, you got kids and everything, and but the World Cup, you know, it still kind of brings back that feeling from the summer of 06 for me. So
you're not an old man, Justin, so stop saying that at 31 years of age. And the other thing I would tell you is you're going to like tonight's show, because we are going to talk about the 2006 World Cup.
Absolutely. Looking forward to hearing some stories from Ben from that tournament, no doubt.
You're going to hear some good ones. All right. Thank you so much, Justin. Let's keep it rolling here. Is that Trit? All right. Trit, what do you got?
Yeah, how you doing? So, first call, you know, a lot of it I think about the World Cup is just the experience, touch on what the first caller, just what he just talked about. Mm-hmm. I remember being a kid going to kind of our first World Cup party when I was young. It was to watch the finals of the World Cup in Mexico City back in the 80s. And then for some of us guys who are older than your previous caller, my high school graduation gift was going to all the games in Dallas in 94.
Yes.
And, you know, being able to experience that, having played club soccer and everything, and having been to Oilers games and Astros games and all that, and then going to that, having that atmosphere and the drums and the chants and the songs, totally, you know, foreign to an American kid, right? And then not finally getting to experience that again until going to some games overseas in Europe on vacations, and then also the Argentina game here last summer. Right, for anybody who's not a soccer fan to finally go to one of those games and experience that, it's totally different than any college football, NFL football. It's a whole different level and a whole different experience that I hope a lot of people take advantage of when it comes here to Houston next year, and hopefully I'm one of them.
Yeah, well, I hope you are too, and we appreciate that from Tritt. That's two very good takes. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Tell me about your World Cup experience. When was your first connection with it? I think Tritt was talking about the 1986 World Cup, which was held in Mexico. Had that legendary side volley from Manuel Negrete, who I once played against when he was on Pumas of Mexico, the club team. But I never forget that goal he scored. Little guy. I mean, the littlest guy you've ever seen. And he hit a side volley in Azteca in front of like 110,000 people. It's one of the sickest highlights ever in all of sports. So we will have Ben Olsen on here tonight. We're going to talk about World Cup 2026, and that was in Germany. At that time, I worked on that World Cup. I called games on that World Cup, and I got sent over there. This is kind of cool. So Nike picked out a few journalists in America, half a dozen guys, myself, Grant Wall, the late Grant Wall, Max Bretos was there. I'm trying to think of who else was there. Yeah, you know, I just picked up a call from Nike one day, and they said, we would like to send you to Germany. And, you know, I guess they understood you were doing a lot of things in soccer. I had the columns in the Houston Chronicle for 7 years. So that would have been that time period. Yeah, that would have been that time period. So anyway, we get treated first class. We go over there. They said, you know, the only thing is we need you at this one event. So, you know, I'm going to Brandenburg Gate. I'm taking in everything I can possibly take in Berlin. And then they take us into the legendary Berlin Olympic Stadium, which is where Hitler had stood up there. And, you know, the whole thing with the Olympics and Jesse Owens winning all the medals. They took us, they showed us the spot where his car drove in, where he stood. And then Nike had the interior, the guts, the inside of the Berlin Olympic Stadium. All these historic, you know, artifacts and jerseys and some of their product and everything. But it was everywhere. And then they shepherded everybody into a dark room. It looked like a nightclub. It had a runway, like the Rolling Stones runway, right? And all of a sudden there's smoke and you feel like you're in a nightclub and there's pulsating lights. And then you see, you know, a handful of shadowy figures across the stage. But you can't tell who they are. And then the lights go on and it's all the star players of teams that Nike are going to be their sponsors for in the World Cup. So you got Portugal's Cristiano Ronaldo standing up there. You have DeMarcus Beasley of the U.S. standing up there. You had Jared Borghetti, I believe, of Mexico. You had Adriano of Brazil. You had Ruud van Nistelrooy of the Netherlands. And then they took all of us, you know, who were in some shape or form, radio, TV, written. I guess I was all three at that point. Maybe that's why I got the ticket and the call to go over there. I don't know. Maybe I was a triumphant. But then they took you and you went into these rooms and you got to interview. You got three guys assigned to you that you could interview. I got Ruud van Nistelrooy. I got Adriano, who had a lot of problems later in his career after this. Both really cool guys. Very, very nice. They got it. They were very open. And also Jared Borghetti, who was also good. So those were the three I got. And, yeah, it was a really unique experience. It was very cool to see the Olympic Stadium. And, you know, that's kind of the story there. But I also was sent to do the U.S.-Germany game before the World Cup. And this was one of the last games Bruce Arena had the team. And he was going to pick the final team. And we went there to call the U.S.-Germany game. And that was the game that I believe Brian Ching of the Houston Dynamo earned his keep and got picked for the national team. Now, he never played, you know, he never got on the field in 2006, which was too bad. But he made the team at the end. And it was between him and Taylor Twellman. And I said, you know, we called that game. The U.S. got smacked 4-1. It was freezing. It was in Dortmund Stadium. The German fans were absolutely amazing. I mean, steins of beer, people holding babies, just so pumped for the World Cup, so excited. We had a set that was at wide open out in the middle of the crowd, which was crazy. People were trying to hand us beers. I remember my partner, Marcelo Balboa, who opened the show last week here, had a, you know, he always wears sunglasses. So he had a pair of sunglasses propped up on his head the whole time, the whole night. He forgot about that. We were laughing about that. Yeah, sun was pretty bad. But U.S. got beat 4-1. But it was, you really got the sense that the World Cup was coming, and you also got the sense of what a great country soccer wise, second to none, is Germany. I mean, it's just one of the greatest soccer countries, football countries on the planet. So then, you know, I'm getting ready to go on the plane, and Taylor Twellman's there, who's fighting for that spot with Brian Ching, and he ultimately didn't make the team. And I had gotten asked to be a part of a poll where they took a list of 15 or so, 12 journalists who were somewhat prominent at the time to pick your World Cup rosters. And everybody, and this was before it was announced, and everybody put for that last striker position Taylor Twellman over Ching. I was the only one who put Brian Ching. Of course, that's how it ended. Brian Ching made the team. So that was tough for Taylor Twellman because he was an excellent striker as well at that point. But there's more to that story, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. I don't think it's not something I would want to put on the air. There's a little bit more to that story. But anyway, that shows you how tough it is to make a World Cup, how much rarefied air it is. Okay, and we have Ben Olsen coming up in this segment. And Ben's going to recount his experience at the 2006 World Cup. By the way, the 2006 World Cup, some of the memorable moments to just jolt your brain here. Italy won that World Cup. Zinedine Zidane, remember the headbutt in the final from Marco Materazzi? Nobody ever forgets that. That team was led, the Italians, by Gianluigi Buffon in goal and Fabio Cannavaro, one of the smallest center backs ever, but one of the best. It was Italy's fourth World Cup title. Miroslav Klose, who's the all-time leading goal scorer for Germany, out of anybody in the World Cup, was 16. That was his coming out scene. He scored 5 in that World Cup. He played in 4. And then Ghana, who the U.S. played and knocked us out. That's the game Ben Olsen played in. That was the first World Cup in the first round of 16 for them. So there was a lot of really interesting stuff. Netherlands had a controversial exit in that one. All right, we're going to take a break here. We want to remind you, this is Destination 2026. I'm Glenn Davis. Houston's Countdown to the Cup, presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist Energy, and Quanta. The show continues. Coming up next, a participant in the World Cup, rarefied air. He is currently the coach of the Houston Dynamo. Ben Olsen will join me next.
ESPN 97.5.
Be waved on. Ghana don't have to worry about what's happening in Hamburg between Italy and the Czech Republic, because they know if they win, then they are through.
Good ball in, it's Dempsey! Goal! Brilliant! Clint Dempsey! Don't discount just yet the fight, the heart, and the vigour and verve of the USA.
You're listening to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. And, well, we're 1 year away. That was Clint Dempsey's goal, the lone goal the U.S. got in the 2000. 2006 World Cup in Germany. With that, we bring in a man that played in it. Rarefied air to play in a World Cup. Think about that. Or even make a roster. It's very few people who have been in that place. And he is currently the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Of course, everybody knows him in Houston. He is Ben Olsen. Ben, thanks for coming on tonight.
Nice to be on. It's a tough start to, you know, relive that match. But I wish we could rewrite history and Clint could have scored another goal. But it's nice to be on. It's nice to talk World Cup. It's crazy that we're a year out.
Yeah, no question, Ben. So when you heard that goal call, you know, what kind of went through your mind? Because that is the game that you came on and you played about 50, 60 minutes in that one against Ghana.
Yeah, you know, the whole the game was back and forth. It was fairly even. I didn't think we got a, you know, here I am with excuses. Didn't feel like we got a fair shake. The PK call I thought was a really bad one. And, you know, the momentum when Clint came on, gave real energy, got the goal. I thought, you know, things were going to turn. But listen, it's the World Cup. The teams are playing at such a high level. You know, it comes down to moments. And we didn't make enough of them. So the whole World Cup experience for me was wonderful, but it was also a big disappointment that we did not get out of the group and you know, give our fans something to really cheer about throughout that entire World Cup, which was a great one. Germany put on a great show. And me personally, what a wonderful moment as I was kind of the last guy on the plane. I really was. I don't say that being humble. Barely made the team, and as a soccer player, to just be a part of that, and then to get into a game at a World Cup, it's really special. It's something I'm proud of, and I'm humbled to have been a part of a World Cup during my career.
Yeah, you should be, Ben. And you know, when I sit here and I think of just the people that have been there, like yourself, that have been on a field, that have played in a World Cup game and been a part of a World Cup team, it really is pretty incredible. At what point in maybe your youth or where did the World Cup become a thing to you? As a kid, maybe?
Very, 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 very late. As far as the reality of thinking like, oh, one day I'd like to be in the World Cup, and that's, you know, actually feasible, right? When you're young, you know, I played all different types of sports. You know, I played basketball, tennis. I played at an age where I wanted to be in the NBA or play in the French Open just as much as I wanted to be in the World Cup as a 10-year-old, right?
Yep.
So it was just a different time. But as this grew, and then I went to the under-20 national team World Cup, right? I went to the under-20 World Cup in Malaysia. And then I found myself in the Olympics. And the next logical dream was to be a part of the World Cup. And I thought I missed my opportunity 4 years before because of all my surgeries. I was in a cast during the Korea World
Japan,
Cup. South Korea. And I was in a cast. And that was going to be my World Cup that I was going to be a part of potentially, but injuries derailed that opportunity. So in a lot of ways, I thought I missed it. And I just happened to start playing pretty well a year before and, you know, scoring some goals and getting back on the radar there. And I also had a leg up because Bruce Arena was the coach. You talk about who you know sometimes rather than what you do. You know, Bruce was always in my corner. And I think, you know, he gave me the benefit of the doubt. And because he knew me and what I offered, you know, put me as one of those last guys on the team.
And Bruce Arena was your coach at the University of Virginia as well. I think I think you will know my neighborhood buddy growing up, Bob Jenkins, as well, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Bob Jenkins. He's part of that family, AU and certainly UVA. So yep. Being a part of that family, it didn't hurt, put it that way.
Yeah, Bob and me grew up playing together. His older brother and our families were very close in New Jersey. But
that's cool.
But so I move on. And, you know, now that you're a coach and you just said what you said, I mean, coaches pick people that they know they can depend on, that maybe they know their history a little bit deeper, right? I mean, that's a fact.
Yeah, I think you have to be careful of that. But, you know, coaches have their guys for sure. And, you know, you see it all the time. Coaches go from one team to the other, and they, you know, it's kind of the insiders. We call them kind of warm blankets. You know, we know that person, and they are loyal, and they understand what you're doing and your culture. And sometimes they can help you in different ways. They know your system. They know or they know what you want in the locker room. So there's all different types of reasons why you would have that. I don't have a lot of that in my career. I have not brought a lot of guys that I have, used at different clubs at different years. I actually tend to think that doesn't always go well once. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of coaches that do and have success with that.
Ben Olsen's joining us tonight, and this is really cool. We're recounting his World Cup experience. Okay, so Claudio Reyna gets injured. You come in this game against Ghana. This is the second game. It's a big game. You enter the field. Can you remember some details? Can you remember a specific ball you hit that was a good one? Do you remember beating someone? Can you take us into, you know, the blade of grass you stepped on? Anything?
Well, I'll tell you a story before that. Against Italy. I don't know if you remember that game. They get a red card. And we were up a man, and we were having trouble getting some attack. And I was a central midfielder at that point. And Bruce looks at me and says, "Ben, get loose. You're going in at right back."
Oh, shoot.
And I say, so I jump off. I'm like, what did he say? I jump off the bench. I'm ready to go in. Here I think I'm going into against Italy in the World Cup at a position I haven't played since I was like 12. So because we were up a man, again, we were getting some service, and he was willing to risk an attacker going in there. So I'm getting warmed up. I can't believe I'm going in at this position, but I'm ready to roll, whatever. And, sort of when I'm to go in and Bruce is probably mulling it over if this is really a good idea while I'm warming up. And Pablo Mastroianni gets another red card.
Oh, jeez.
So now it's even, and I'm, that dashed my dreams of going in very, very quickly.
Oh, wow. 'Cause
there is no way he was putting me in it right back if we were even numbers against Italy. So then the Ghana game comes, and I still haven't played a minute in the World Cup. And, it is different, right? Going to a World Cup, having a great seat on the bench is wonderful. But you do want to get in. You do want to get you do want to break a sweat and see what the live action is about. And so Claudio, unfortunately, gets hurt in the game. My number's called. And, I thought I did okay. It was 50 minutes of chaos. We're pushing the game, and we're trying to get back into it. And, again, I'm proud of my minutes. I think I watched it back once. In my mind, I was better than I actually was. But that's usually the case when you go back and watch these types of games. But it was, again, it was a wonderful moment, but certainly bittersweet because I wasn't able to, help enough to get bring the team back and advance to the next round. So it was afterwards, I remember the emotions of like, wow, I just played in a World Cup, and that's but also just so disappointed that there wasn't more to come and it was over.
And by the way, just for the listeners out there, here's how it went. The U.S. lost their opener to the Czech Republic 3-0. There was the 1-1 draw that Ben was just talking about with Italy. Italy would go on to win it. It would be their fourth World Cup title. We'll talk about that later. And then the U.S. were in that final game against Ghana, which Ben came on for an injured Claudio Reyna. And that ended up being a 2-1 loss. There was a penalty. I think Stephen Appiah hit the penalty, which was a controversial penalty, I think, on the stroke of halftime or in and around there. It's pretty amazing. Now, that was an interesting roster because at that time, Bruce Arena's roster, 11 out of the 23 were playing in Europe, guys like Keller, Chirundolo, Onyewu, Beasley, and then the other half were Major League Soccer players.
It was a real mix, and it was an interesting dynamic because there was a lot going on. Right, we were, I think it was something crazy. We were something seventh or eighth in the world. We were ranked. I don't know the exact thing. You could maybe come up with that, but I remember being a feeling like we were way too high in the rankings going into this tournament, we had success the 4 years. They had success 4 years before, and you know, in some ways, we were at an all-time high of where we stood, kind of in global soccer. And I don't know. I didn't feel that way. I didn't feel like we were in there, and maybe we lost a little edge because of that. It was an interesting team. I also the war was going on. If you remember, there was a lot of Iraq stuff going on, and I remember the feeling of being there, and the security was double, triple for us than other teams. We had double helicopters flying everywhere with us, buses on all sides, and I remember the security being extremely, extremely intense in that moment. And we weren't the most popular country in the world, I think, at that time either. So it was a lot playing out, I think, outside of the soccer that I remember feeling among this kind of global tournament. But it was a great Germany. I mean, Germany put on just an incredible, incredible event. It was so well run. The atmospheres were great. The facilities were incredible. We didn't live up to certainly the expectations.
You know, I went over there to call your 4-1 game, the friendly that was before the World Cup, and we were at the German training session, which they opened to the public, and like 20,000 people came to the training session in their stadium. They opened it up, and a lot of it was anti-Jurgen Klinsmann, who was then the coach of Germany. I mean, it was pretty intense. It's heck of a soccer culture. What about Houston now? We're 1 year away. This is super exciting. What do you notice out of World Cups? I mean, we always get a platform. It platforms the game in the consciousness of people. How do you look at what's going to happen from a year from now here in Houston, where we're going to host seven games, Ben?
Well, I'll go back. My first real taste of international soccer was USA Colombia, the Escobar game.
94.
In California, yeah. In 94. That was my first taste of it. And that was, you know, you go back to memories and like saying like one day I'd love to be on this type of stage. I was with the national team. We used to be in Chula Vista, San Diego. They put us on a bus and they cruised us up and we watched that game. We saw two games during that time. And it was wonderful. It was just incredible to have that going on in our country and have that many people watching soccer, this game that, you know, at that point had not been what it is today, to see the packed stadium. It was remarkable. Even as a kid, we just couldn't believe it. And kind of full circle to have this again in our country, to be the head coach in a city, in a great city that's diverse, huge and dynamic, and to be hosting, be a host city with my family here. I'm just pumped. I expect it to be a great show everywhere. Every city's going to want to show off, and both in their hospitality and the stadiums and the show, and to be a part of this in Houston. I'm really looking forward to it. I can't believe we're a year out, and I hope to be engaged in it as much as possible and be a fan, because we don't get to do that much in a coach. It's very hard to watch a game and not be analytical. And, you know, it's almost when I watch games, it's not for enjoyment. I'm never a fan anymore. It's just all it's work, and you're dissecting things and you're looking at different ways coaches are going about it. And, it'll be nice to step away and just be a fan of the game of soccer.
Ben Olsen joining us, rarefied air, played in the 2006 World Cup in Germany against Ghana, part of that U.S. national team that had names like Casey Keller, Steve Cherundolo, Oguchi Onyewu, Brian McBride, DeMarcus Beasley, Pope, Donovan, you name it, a lot of big names on that team, including Olsen. So, Ben, you know, you recounted a really good impressionable story. When you were a youth national team player, you went to the World Cup. How do you see that replicating itself? And I would think this could be potentially an opportunity for the Dynamo to capitalize on, obviously, with the World Cup and games being here and being the only show in town when it comes to live soccer and the MLS product.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, right? We always talk about these moments, right? And yes, it pushes the MLS forward. It pushes the local clubs, in our case, the Dynamo, and hope. We always talk about capturing fans, but I think we got to be careful of, you know, again, relying on the World Cup to now fill our stadium or get all these people that don't go to the Dynamo stadium now. Just because they go to a World Cup game doesn't mean they're automatically going to fall in love with soccer and become Dynamo games. So the World Cup is big and it's special and it's a big event. So yes, there will be a boost, as there is whenever we have tournaments or when David Beckham comes into the league and Messi comes. There's all these moments that push our league forward, and the awareness and the importance of the game, both on a whole and then kind of on a micro level within the cities. So, but usually it levels off. You get a little bump and it levels off a little bit. And yeah, hopefully you capture some fans. Hopefully you get some people to go to the game that aren't used to it and fall in love with the game and come see some Dynamo games. But on our end, you know, we can't rely on that stuff. In my opinion, right? We gotta do our own work. I gotta win games. I gotta put together a fun product that's entertaining, and the front office, you know, do more in whatever they need to do to get us out there and push the business forward. So that's our responsibility. Yeah, we hope we can capitalize on some of it and bring awareness to who we are to local fans, and maybe even have more awareness of our club for people, visitors that are coming from out of town, but can't rely on it.
I agree with you 100%. It's not the magic elixir, but it can do some good things. Ben, great stuff tonight. Really enjoyed it. Great to hear the experiences, and I know my listeners as well. Good luck against Montreal this weekend. We'll talk soon. Thank you for coming on.
All right, brother. See you. Thanks.
All right, that's Ben Olsen. World Cup 2026 was in Germany. 32 teams, 64 matches, 147 goals. They were scoring over 2.3 per match, not the U.S. The U.S. only had one goal in that tournament and an own goal. Clint Dempsey, and then there was an own goal. But they were in it in the last game against Ghana to advance. Italy ended up winning the tournament. That was the famous headbutt from Zidane of France on Marco Materazzi. And Fabio Cannavaro was the captain of Italy, who would win their fourth World Cup with a legendary goalkeeper, Gianluigi Buffon. And the team was coached by the also legendary Marcello Lippi. So pretty incredible. Great to relive some of that. And I love the callers also in the first segment, just kind of recounting when the World Cup became important to them. All right, we're going to take a break here. Welcome again. We appreciate everybody. This is only our second show here. It's Destination 2026, Houston's countdown to the World Cup, presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist Energy, and Quanta. When we come back, we've got a number of things to get into, but we're going to do some U.S. men's national team. I'm going to try to walk you off the ledge a little bit after the U.S. got demolished 4-0. 4-0 to Switzerland. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. Reminder, hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting all programs. This is Radio Clash on Pirate Satellite.
This is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup, presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, Energy, and Quanta. Just want to remind you of a couple of things again, because you never know who's listening to the show. It may not be somebody who's totally into soccer and maybe kind of learning about it. But Houston will host 7 World Cup matches in 2026 here at Energy Stadium, the legendary Energy Stadium that has had all kinds of international soccer content that, frankly, through attendance, drew the eyeballs to this amazing soccer city that we win it, that we live in. We have 5 group stage matches next June, June 14, 17, 20, 23, and 26. We got 1 round of 32. That's June 29th. And then we have 1 round of 16. So we got 2 knockout stage rounds. This World Cup, remember, is going from 32 to 48 teams. Hence, when I read off some of these names, you will understand that there are more spaces and some teams that you're not used to hearing qualifying for a World Cup getting in there. So these are the teams that have qualified so far. Obviously, as host nations, the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Mexico will host the opening game. The very first game will be in Azteca Stadium a year from today. South America already qualified is obviously the World Cup holders, Lionel Messi in Argentina. Brazil, who just picked up a new head coach in Carlo Ancelotti, and Ecuador is in as well. Colombia looks primed to get over the hump here real soon. In the Asian Confederation, you have Japan, you have Iran, you have Uzbekistan, Jordan, South Korea, and Australia. So that's an example of the expansion of the World Cup, offering others opportunity and more places to get into it. And then in Oceania right now, you have New Zealand that is in it. I did want to mention, historically, the leading goal scorers in the history of the World Cup. Miroslav Klose, West Germany, has 16 goals in World Cups. The 2006 World Cup, he had 5. Ronaldo of Brazil, the real Ronaldo, 15. Gerd Müller, they called him Der Bomber, recently passed in recent years. West Germany, it was before Germany got unified. Gerd Müller scored in the 74 World Cup final. He had 14. Just Fontaine had 13 for France, and then the legendary Pelé had 12. And Pelé is the only man to have won 3 World Cups as a player. 58, 62, and then that legendary team that many called possibly the greatest team in the history of the World Cup. Of course, that's all subjective, but that was the 1970 Brazil team. So there you go. So let's talk about the U.S. Last night they got beat 4-0. When that lineup came out, I said to myself, and I looked at the experience for Switzerland and some of the clubs that the Swiss players were on, I said, yeah, this is going to be tough. And this, I just thought in my mind, this is going to be very tough for this group of players. You had some that were debuting, that have played little, that even U.S. fans don't know a whole lot about unless you're following very deeply MLS. So, you know, this is not the first team for the United States. That said, that's not an excuse. We can't be an excuse-laden nation. There's many guys here that this is essentially an assessment period under a new coach. But you also want to get results because you also want to build momentum as a host nation. You want people feeling good about it. And people aren't feeling good about it today. But you're missing Anthony Robinson. You're missing Serginho Dest. These are all pretty much, if you pick the team right now, are bona fide starters. Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, probably Yunus Musah in there. Christian Pulisic. You can get into that whole thing if you want. I will take your comments, by the way, at 713-780-3776. And then I would say probably Tim Weah. That's, and I may be missing somebody, but that's the nucleus of your team. None of these guys are there except Adams. And I don't think even Adams, I didn't watch the game because I didn't want to go back and watch it. I don't know if he even played last night. So there you go. So let's go to Mauricio Pochettino, the head coach. Now, everything's coming in now. We're examining our overall soccer culture, the commercialization of it, you know, the fact that it's all about money in the youth game. Should we have an American coach, a foreign coach? Everything's on the table right now. So here's Mauricio Pochettino on the starting lineup and the U.S. Giving up four goals.
I seen the how we assess the first half and then the whole game. I seen, first of all, I think it's of course, it's our responsibility and my responsibility of the decision of the choice of the starting 11, because I think we wanted to get the possibility to the whole roster to have minutes and play for different circumstances, and I think that is a risk that we took, and I think that was is something can go in, you know, in a wrong direction, was in a wrong direction from the beginning. I think we didn't never were in the on the game again, a very good team like Switzerland. With experienced player and a team that is playing really well, I think that was, I think, my first thought, that not to blame, of course, the player, is to blame ourselves, because I think that was our decision. And I think in the combination of, you know, the starting 11 on the team, I think was...
Okay, so what's Pochettino say? He's taking the pressure off the players. We picked a bad lineup, me and my staff, and it's really on us. And the other thing that's very clear there, this was an assessment. For some of these guys, it's a tryout. Some of these guys are not close to going to a World Cup. I mean, let's be fair, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but you know, it's a limited group of people that are going to get there, okay? So here he is a little bit more. This is soundbite number 9 on the risk of this roster against Switzerland.
The other day we were seeing 65 players. And when you work in this way, trying to identify the best quality of a player or give the possibility to the player to come to the national team and try to build, you know, your own way to play, your own team that being confidence playing in the way that you expect, with more than 60 players, it's difficult to have the continuity or the balance. And if you can see, we change a lot, you know, the starting 11 or the roster. That is why I think that was important. But it was impossible for all the circumstances to have and work 1 month, you know. But I think the circumstance put, and for us, was to choose the best player in, to be here now and to work. And for sure, the question before was, for sure, after 1 month working together, for sure some player that maybe you don't think that maybe had the possibility to be in the roster in the World Cup could be. Should, maybe someone can surprise us.
4-0 loss to Switzerland is not making people very comfortable. Remember, it's a year out. There's a lot of people that are going to participate with their clubs and are going to have a chance with club performance to prove themselves. You got the Gold Cup coming up. It's going to be a very mixed roster for the United States. It usually is in Gold Cups. So, you know, we can all hit the panic button for sure. It depends on how you want to go through with it. That's... got to do it tonight here. And we appreciate everybody coming in to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup, presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist Energy, and Quanta. For Brian McDonald, I'm Glenn Davis. Don't forget, podcast to this show, Spotify, Apple, and at ESPN 975. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.